presented by AfterBuzz TV, where integral members of the WWE, Kathy Kelly, Sonya Deville, and Christy St. Cloud started their careers. This is Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly, the first online pro wrestling show dedicated to all things women's pro wrestling, showcasing news and interviews with top superstars in the industry. And now, AfterBuzz's own gorgeous hosts of wrestling.
Welcome, guys. You are watching Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. My name is TK Trinidad. We are back for another amazing, amazing show. I am really, really excited. I'm getting like goosebumps. I'm thinking of all the guests that we're going to have this summer. So if you haven't been tuning in, then you might want to catch up and then, you know, go on from there. But it's not just me by myself. At the desk, we have a very special guest, but co-host. She's coming back. She's so amazing.
Hello.
Sarah the Rebel.
It is I. Hi. Happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Seriously. We appreciate it.
I had nothing else to do.
And if she did, she'd still come.
Probably.
And then right next to Sarah the Rebel, America's sweetheart.
Indeed.
Evan T. Mack.
You question marked it like you don't know, man. You know what I mean? You said America's sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
I mean.
And I'm working with this. We're going to make it stick.
I think it will stick, but it'll be one of those things that like. Okay.
I just don't want, like, I told you, I don't want Julia Roberts to put a hit out on your boy, man. But I'm
I don't think she's
known for that.
Yeah.
Is
she really?
People don't know, man.
I just like to keep him on his toes. Yeah.
Maybe you should add, like, a chocolate sweetheart.
Yeah, something like that, like a Hershey Kiss. Yeah.
Something like that.
I ain't trying to get no trouble with Miss Julia.
I mean, you need to get some of those, like, Shamar abs or Michael B. Jordan abs. Yeah. And that might put you over right there.
Anything you can get from Shamar. eyebrow.
Yeah, that might put you over right there. Anywho, we have a lot of things happening. We have the Star of the Week to watch. We also have a Women's Roundup. We have a very, 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 very special guest. I don't know if I should wait. Actually, yeah, because she's just going to hop in whenever, you know, she's done what she was doing. Very special guest from Impact Wrestling, Chelsea Green,
nice.
A.K.A. Laura Van Ness, hot ass mess. She's amazing. But before we do that, we're going to get into the news.
Yeah.
Pro Wrestling News.
All right, TK, listen. Nikki and John, listen. They're back together. They broke up. Maybe publicity stunt. Not a publicity stunt. Sarah the Rebel is on, it's off, it's up, it's down, it's left, it's right. What the hell is going on?
It sounds like a normal relationship, all right.
Does it?
Yes, I'm of exactly two minds. I really am. On the one hand, everything the Miz said about John leading up to that feud and leading to the proposal was correct.
Isn't that something?
And so if this was a publicity stunt, that all makes sense. On the other hand, when you're in a volatile, passionate relationship, as you know your girl has been in a few times, the breakups and getting back together thing is pretty normal.
That would be normal if it wasn't for the timing of Total Bellas coming on Sunday.
Yeah, TK is not,
That's the only like hiccup that is just kind of like I could definitely feel where she's coming from. She wants the kids, she wants the marriage, and he was dragging his feet. Now he's like, I kind of sort of want the kids, and you don't want somebody who doesn't want the kids. Like, you know, you might take that, but she's a beautiful woman. She has a lot of stuff going on for her. She's still kind of young. So she can find somebody who can commit to her in less than a year instead of waiting 6 years.
Right.
So that could be the issue with that. I have no issues with the, because they've broken up before. They've done this before. Mm-hmm. You know, cold feet, all that stuff right before the wedding. I get that. The show is starting.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, he posted on his Instagram, by the way, is super weird, John.
It's cryptic. It's cryptic.
Very, very super cryptic, weird.
Man.
So he posted, I forgot what 80s movie it was, the guy with the stereo on top of his head. He posted that. Then he was on the red carpet. No, he's on the show. He talked about he's going to do anything he possibly can to get her back. And then they asked her on the red carpet for the NBC lineups in New York. And she's like, eh. And now they're saying they're pretty much basically back together, which is the last article that came on Diva Dirt. So definitely shout out to Diva Dirt. Yeah. They've been plugging in a lot of our stuff. So it's just like, I wouldn't mind all that, but the show, episode one, starts with, I think the title of the show is like Cena something. Like there's Cena in the title of the show, and he's not a total Bella.
You know what's funny about it? They say that it didn't help ratings at all. So even if it was a stunt, they're saying like it didn't do anything.
Well, I think, I don't know what I think the people who watch wrestling a little bit more, like the wrestling fan, they're gonna watch. The people who are not wrestling fans and
casual
fans, it didn't really make much of a difference because they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
They can't even see that man.
And it's crazy when it comes to like the whole kids thing and the marriage thing. Like men don't need, men need to understand something here. Like, women can't just have babies when they like 55 years old. You can't just keep dragging a girl along. Like, I don't care what people are doing in their 40s. Like, women don't want to have babies that late, though.
Well, I mean, they can't.
Being able to and wanting to are two different things.
Yeah.
Nikki wants to be in her youth and have a child and raise a child, like, while she's relatively
young. Did you guys see episode one of Total Bellas? So she got baby fever because of Bree has her kid, Brittany.
Sure.
So obviously she's around her all the time and all sort of stuff. So that kind of prompts, like, maybe I really do want kids.
And I'm surprised, too, because normally when I'm around babies, I'm like, oh, good reminder. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. You can take this screaming thing back.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, there's, like I said, there's just different,
Auntie two different, Sarah loves you.
Two different sides of that, though. Then there's that woman that's like, okay, I wasn't even thinking about having a baby now, but now
my
sister's so happy, like, all right, John, what's going on? No, when she had a baby, John was like, oh.
What's good, John?
But John, like I've said over the last couple weeks, John has said that he wouldn't mind having kids on a night show. It was either Kimmel or Fallon, a couple months ago.
Yeah,
so he did say that he was willing to have kids. So I don't know what transpired in between that. But, yeah.
It's, like I said, it's interesting. She wants to wear homeboy down. Or you can't always wear a brother down.
I don't think that's why she broke up with him.
Right. You shouldn't. And it's rude of him if he knows that he's not ready to try and get her back, because that's just selfish on his part. She has wants and needs, and it can't all be about his wants and needs. So either, you know, you got to accept, compromise, or break up.
I agree.
And then on the show, she also said that I think they had the new house in San Diego for 6 or 7 months, and they literally slept in the bed together for 30 days out of those months. So even if she does have the kids, is that going to, I mean, is he going to slow down? You know, and then I'm kind of wondering, how does The Rock do that? And if he does, or, I mean, if he doesn't sleep, you know, I mean, obviously he did. He just had a kid, but if he doesn't see her that often, then how does he make it work?
That's true.
So, I mean, if he does, then him and Cena need to get together and figure it out.
And the thing is, Cena's more busy. It was crazy. He's more busy than he's ever been right now. Mm-hmm. This dude's getting more movie deals and movie offers than ever. And I know that's why he backtracked on the whole, like, this and The Rock, because he's, like, realizing, okay, this, it is kind of hard to wrestle.
If you watch episode one, he's very Rock-esque. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought he's okay. Yeah.
He seems more personable. He seems less rigid. Mm-hmm. And it's just like.
That could be a tribute to Nikki, though. You know what I mean? Like, the right person. I'm just, I don't know.
He's been with Nikki for 6 years.
But you can't just turn, you just can't make yourself nice, though. The jaw can be loosening up.
You can make yourself nice in front of the camera.
Well, the right person can make you loosen up, though.
Mm.
They can, though. The right person can change how you can be perceived. That is what couples do. I don't know about y'all's relationships, but the right relationship can make you better yourself. I don't know about y'all, though.
That is fair.
It's not.
It is fair. It's true.
I do see what you're saying.
Like, my wife made me a better person. So
yeah,
I know
it's true. I'm not saying he's a jerk. I'm not saying. I'm not. I'm definitely not saying that. He's not a jerk. He's very goal-oriented. He works hard and it's all this stuff. I'm just saying that his personality seemed very Rock-esque, meaning that, you know, The Rock is very, like, I don't know if you saw, he did this really great motivational speaker thing for the Lakers.
I've seen it.
So he's very personable. I saw him on the red carpet. What you see on TV is what you see, you know, there.
Right.
I don't know, obviously, behind closed doors that he's different. I highly doubt it.
Never know, though.
It's really hard to keep up that act for so long, but whatever. Just the from this season to the last Total Bellas, it just seems like he's very, like, you know, Rock-esque. I don't even know how to say it.
I think they're two separate people, though. I don't like you comparing The Rock to John.
They are two separate people, but
still. I don't like
still.
That, DK. Come on, man.
So upset.
John's his own man, though.
He
like,
is.
Don't y'all compare him with
that. He is, like, but he's a different type of guy, and now I feel like he's trying to be more personable, which is a skill. Like, I wasn't personable, you know, 15 years ago. It is a skill, but for some people, it comes a little bit more natural than others. For
that's
The
for
Rock,
sure.
It seems like it's very natural
right,
to him.
Natural
you could drop him in pretty much anywhere, and he can crack jokes and say the F word in front of parents, and parents are not going to mind for some reason.
I don't know.
Right.
But he's a brother, and he's an island guy. Them island dudes are so chill, man. If you meet an island dude, man, they're always laid back. It's the weirdest thing.
I would like to do a scientific study on that.
They're laid back, man.
Like, how would you want to do the scientific study?
I got to study the auras. Of various island dudes.
Shout out to my boy Andrew, Hawaiian dude. That's the chillest dude I've ever met.
I've never met a not chill island dude. He's right.
See, isn't it true?
But that's what I want to, like, know.
There's something. Why are y'all so chill?
How are you going to do this investigation? Because I don't think you can do the investigation. I can do it for you.
Well, yeah, I gotta hire a scientist.
We gotta send you out.
You can hire me. Preferably over 6 feet.
A scientist.
We gotta send you
somewhere,
out.
Somebody who's in the USO.
Let's get real specific now.
Yeah, somebody in that family tree.
Man, them tropical areas, man, they're just... Hey, man, it's all good. Oh, yeah. It's like, all good.
Yeah, when I went, Naomi and her... Well, actually, no, both of them met at SmackDown. They were really cool people. So I'm just saying, you know, you can't do the research, but I'd be more than happy.
We got to get Sarah on that research.
Yeah. Just send. I will be more than happy to report back to you, let you know.
All right. I will put this... I will file it away.
How chilly.
Right. For the future.
And also, I need to text Naomi, because Naomi said she was going to hook me up, and she hasn't yet, so it's just...
No, Naomi keeping all the hot men to yourself.
I'm telling you. Anyways, moving on.
Yo, Tony, ring that bell, man. Please. Both of
you. There you go.
All right, okay, so Lana, speaking of Naomi, Lana and Naomi, they're the following superstars that have qualified. Now it's Bliss, Lynch, Flair, Ember Moon, and Natalya. There's one spot left for the Women's Money in the Bank. I brought this on because I want to know, who do you think is getting the last spot?
Well, first off, did you see Lana's entrance?
I did.
So I have definitely not been, shout out to Lana for just pursuing it.
Right.
And, you know, the 3 minutes or the minute and a half of what she presented looked amazing prior to, you know, what she had before. So definitely shout out to her for having a really great performance. And then also, oh my gosh, my head's so lost with names today. Who brought her out?
Was it English?
Yes, it was.
That was, I think that combo, like him bringing both of them out and how he did it and the presentation and how it lined up and how she beat the Iconics is just,
yeah,
definitely like a 180 compared to what we saw, was it 6 months ago?
Yes. Yeah.
So shout out to her. She's made me, now I want to see more now. Before I was like, no, you should just continue.
But do you want to see Lana in a ladder match?
This is what I'm saying. I
totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. This is so much better. They've gotten the crowd behind her too, which is something that I didn't think they could be able to do with her poor performance in the ring before, especially because the crowd does like Billy, Anna, and Peyton. But I still, like, don't necessarily want to see her in a ladder match. Like, I'm concerned, not just for her, but for her opponents,
too. You mean
just like,
based
on her work. Yeah. I think in a ladder match, you need good workers, people who are confident in themselves and who you can trust.
Right.
Because people don't understand, it's a dangerous match.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, last year, oh my God, what is happening with my head today? Last year...
I need some Ginkgo biloba.
I know, right? Oh my gosh, the Canadian. What's
she? There's a Canadian woman. All right, we're almost there.
Canadian.
Natalya?
Yes. Yeah.
That's all you had to do.
What is happening with me today? I'm so sorry. But she's afraid of heights. Mm. And she made it work. Obviously, she's a great wrestler in general, but with so many women in the ring, that might actually, you know, they'll be able to mask some of the stuff that she doesn't have.
Deficiencies and stuff.
Right. My prediction is she doesn't go up any ladders. That's like my kind of hope.
Or
for
she
her.
Might go up like a few steps and then come down.
So what do you see as her role? What do you see her doing as far as like in the match besides not going up ladders? Do you see her being effective? Do you see her like taking any bumps? Do you see her, you know,
she'll take some bumps.
Yeah, I think she'll take bumps. I don't think they'll be crazy bumps. And I think it'll be to kind of be the person who is the loserest of the match. I don't know if maybe there's a proper term for that.
Yeah.
But also could potentially, I have heard a rumor that they're trying to get her back out of wrestling and back into managing. Now, you know, stuff changes all the time. If they were to still follow that, though, I could see them having her kayfabe superly injured in this match and having to go back to managing.
But then what happens to Aiden?
Mm-hmm. I thought that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. What was going to happen maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago when they came on and she appeared. I was like, oh man, he's going to lose his job because I felt like they were about to do like a whole bunch of firing.
I think he proved last night that it can be all three of them very easily as a stable because they've had stables before.
Right. The Singh brothers. So you have, I guess so. It wasn't a long performance. Her fighting was what? Maybe less than 2 minutes, that much. But with that, I'm like I said, I'm kind of hopeful. Like it seems I have a little bit more hope for her that she might have taken a lot longer to kind of get to where she is now compared to some other folks. But I mean, it might work out for her.
Like I said, so do you have any? Who do you think is going to get in that last spot? Who would you like to see in that last spot?
Oh my goodness!
If you could pick anybody to be in there.
I mean, Sasha is in the gauntlet, right? Is she one of the?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So probably for me, it would be Sasha.
Okay.
I always want to see Sasha. She's wild.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
I know, right? It's pretty good one. There's like.
Well, Naomi's in.
Yep. Be a Bliss, Lynch, Flair, Moon, Natalya.
Wow.
Lana and Naomi.
So I think the gauntlet is like Sasha, Dana, Ruby, is Sarah Logan in it?
I don't think so.
The gauntlet is like extra people who like already got out, but are more, getting another chance.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
But you know,
I'm happy. I'm rooting for. Obviously, you guys know I'm always a fan of Naomi. And then Amber Moon, she was in NXT way too long. I'm glad they brought her up. It's gonna be a good match. So either way, moving on.
Alrighty, yeah. Sticking with the Money in the Bank theme for a second. You know, Asuka versus Carmella title match. Money in the Bank. Sarah Rebel ain't feeling it. This is why I bring these things up, because I already know you rubbing you the wrong way already. I didn't get through the part of the news, the breaking. I didn't get past the headline. What's the problem? What's your problem?
Okay, listen. Carmella basically said what my problem is out loud. She was like, I've beat Charlotte Flair twice, which means I'm twice as good as Asuka. Yep, that's exactly what that means. If you, Charlotte Flair, the person who broke a monster streak, basically like defeating Brock Lesnar, right, is equivalent to what Charlotte Flair did.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmella beat Charlotte Flair clean at least one time. I can't remember the
I thought she did beat her clean both. First time, I think both weren't clean.
No, the first one was clean. One was absolutely clean. It might have not been supposed to be clean, but it was clean. That's why I had a problem with it. So you are telling me that she is going to be way better than Asuka. And that's ridiculous, WWE.
Yeah, if she beats Asuka, I don't know. That's
like, what does it matter how she beats her? Does it bother you? Like, what if it's not clean? What if it's by cheap shot?
Here's the problem, because Asuka can't really interact like the same way that Charlotte can with the promos and stuff, because you know, Asuka's got another language she's working on, and none of us speak it, unfortunately for us. So even if she is tricking her, like, what do we get out of it? What can Asuka give to us to be like, no, that wasn't fair? Like, I don't think it's a good matchup for that, because she's so much stronger, you know?
And they spent so much time building her up to be that strong. Like, if they started it differently, man, like, they started off with this. Then they started talking about a streak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people weren't even talking about a streak. And then they made it a thing.
Right.
And then she gets beat at WrestleMania.
Right.
And now, like, Carmel, it's very interesting.
It's very strange.
Because Asuka is looking like the Terminator.
But we still have a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So who knows if she's still going to be champion.
That's very, very good.
Only pray, please, baby Jesus. Please.
Because I feel that way too. I feel like they did the same thing to Shinsuke. It's like they built him up, and you thought he was going to be the next champion, and now he's just.
He's just a low blower.
Yeah,
he's nut puncher.
Floating. Pretty much.
No, it's true, though. He's in this weird limbo. He's in this weird purgatory where y'all built, like.
Him and Finn Balor.
You guys, like, they both won the Rumble. Like, you guys built them up so much, though. Like, there's the difference between the build up and the build up they gave them. Mm-hmm. That was a hell of a push.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now Shinsuke is like a cheap shot artist?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, and they're not even. Oh, yeah, they are. So, but I don't know.
Yeah,
like, it just, this isn't.
Like, to have Asuka. Like, I think the Carmella as the bad guy with the championship belt, I'm cool with if she wasn't on the same brand as Asuka.
Yeah.
I don't think Asuka is someone you can have facing the Weasley heel when she's not very good in the ring.
Right.
Either. Like, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, we have a few more. I think we have 3 or 4 weeks left. So, you know, you don't know if she's going to have the belt. But then that'll be short time with the belt.
Correct.
Which I'm not really a fan for either.
Because she might not ever, you know, like, who knows?
Oh, no.
With all these ladies coming up.
I mean, like, Alicia Fox is probably never going to get it, so she's probably going to, she's had it before, but she's never going to get it again.
Think about that.
The possibility of Naomi getting it again, probably not this year.
So think about that. So Carmella's run, like, that might be it.
Yeah, and then all the women in NXT that are going to be coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
The whole four horsewomen or the three horsewomen that are down in NXT now,
man.
So that's going to be a thing. I think it was on some site. I think it was either Becky Lynch or somebody's like, she's waiting for them to come up, so it could be a whole battle. So that's going to be a whole thing. So I don't know.
When you get a run like that, you just hold on for dear life. You know, and whenever they just hold on tight.
Just me holding my belt.
We were just, last time you were on the show, we were talking about that. I said after, at the end of the day, she's going to have to wrestle. So she's going to be put in matches with marquee talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to see, okay, what can Carmella do? What can she? And now she's in a match with Asuka. So now you're going to have to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where, like, what can she make a viable match at a huge pay-per-view?
And if they do try to make it look like it's some sort of good match between Carmella and Asuka, the only thing it's going to do is make Asuka look weaker.
Mm.
Because Carmella has never looked strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair point.
I don't know. Damn. We'll see. I'm not really looking forward to this one.
Damn, y'all. Yeah,
I think it might be one of those things where you get a couple of matches and then this is the time you go and get popcorn and you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, it's a popcorn match?
Yeah,
nah.
I'm going to go to the fridge right now. Yeah, cool.
That's been me in a lot of the
shows. Pay-per-views,
totally.
Yeah.
So it's a one long popcorn break.
Man.
I don't even eat popcorn.
We're going to eat it today.
Oh, it's savage. Popcorn's delicious. Tony, can I get that bell, man, please?
TK, we might need to hire a new bellman.
Yo, Tony, uh-oh. For real, man. What's going on, man? Yeah. He's on his P's and Q's. No, he's like, ring the hell out of the bell. Yeah, TK, you brought this to my attention. I'm glad you did. Mr. Ms. and Mrs. set the premiere this mm-hmm. July. What's going on?
I think it's going to be after
the Bellas.
After the Bellas, but it's on a different network. It's on USA Network.
And it's a shorter.
They would never overlap those. So, like, you know.
No, it wouldn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah. Different fan base.
So the premise is basically married life, or?
No, I think it's going to be the whole pregnancy thing.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Cool. Like the pregnancy, I think it's going to pick up from where Total Divas finished.
That's cool.
And up to the baby and everything in between that. And I'm actually surprised because I'm, the Miz didn't take off too much time. I thought he was going to take off like a couple weeks. I think he may have taken off a week or two in between, but he hasn't taken off as much time as I thought he would have.
Yeah, he knows he's in a groove now. You know, the Miz has been.
When has he not been in a groove?
You know what I mean, though? He's like, he's hit that stride. He's like, man, I'm like. He knows he's hotter than he's ever been ever, and he's a happy man. He's a married man. He's mm-hmm. a kid now. Like, I think he's like, I'm not taking that much time off. It's just, with WWE, man, I'm telling you, man, it's like the ocean. You turn your back on it.
Yeah, you can't.
It will drown you.
It's terrible that, you know, but it's the way it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that's coming up, a lot of people that are hungry, a lot of people that want that brass ring, so to speak. And I just
miss. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I've said this before. I don't know if it's true. WWE just doesn't really, like, he's just always there and they don't really use him or give him as much opportunities. Or if it's one of those things where that's what he makes us believe. But the fact is that, you know, he's, you know, one of the top. Because, like, it feels like he is one of those top guys. He is a workhorse. And if he were to take some time off and come back, they wouldn't forget.
Yeah, okay.
Forget him. Like, it's almost like, well, I mean,
I don't know.
Brian,
look what happened
there.
To Finn.
That's what I'm
I mean,
say.
And look what happened originally to Seth. Seth had to fight his way all the way back
right.
up.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
There was a little mini moment for Randy. I was
right.
like, and these are like, we're talking about superstars now.
Right.
So, like, I think Miz, like, that's what the wonderful thing about wrestling is. There's a lot of realism in their promos.
Right.
Like, not for the great ones at least.
Especially with Miz.
Yeah, with the Miz, that's a lot of real stuff. That stuff he was saying about John, y'all can say what that dude was saying some real stuff.
He was just saying the truth.
And listen, I know that was rubbing John the wrong way. Just like when John was saying that stuff to The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, that was rubbing The Rock the wrong way, because there's a lot of realness to it. So the when he puts that in his promos, like, they've taken me for granted. He means that. He means it, but he knows he can use that for a great angle and actually just do the best he can. But I don't think he can leave too long. Because Finn, man, they put Finn on the back burner.
They did. They like, really did. Like, and you know what's cool, though? I feel like The Miz is such a great success story.
Mm-hmm.
He was on reality TV.
They're making fun of him, too, though.
Saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to be a wrestler.
They were laughing in his face, too.
And look where he is. And now he's about to have his own reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's
something.
Come all the way around. It's pretty great.
That is pretty awesome.
I love hating him. He's very good at being a heel. Like, oh, I hate you. I hate your stupid face. I'm so proud of you.
Anybody in the chat talk
about So, Joseph, what up, Joseph? He says, I think Mike and Maurice was created as a way to keep Maurice in reality TV. Oh, got you. Because she couldn't commit to cycle 8 of Total Divas with her pregnancy. It's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, it's a small little
right.
That's nice information.
But, yeah, I mean, I think she's still going to be on Total, like, not maybe this cycle, but I think she's going to be back if Total Divas gets renewed, which I don't know what the ratings were for that one.
At the same time, how TV works is it ain't just only 6 episodes. It's only 6 episodes if the ratings are big.
Right.
Because if the ratings, like, exceed their expectations, trust me, that 6 can turn into 12 to 24.
Yeah,
so
I don't
so
know.
Forth.
I don't know if people are going to... I don't know if people
all about
watch.
Ratings.
It's
always
really interesting
ratings.
What they... I don't know if this is because they found that this is what people want to watch or what, but it always being about, like, I'm a woman and a mother and I'm having a baby. Like, that's the story they're telling instead of anything about the young women wrestlers, like,
mm-hmm.
coming up or anything like that. It's, like, really focused on, like, family, 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 family. We're all married.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Oh, damn, Tony.
I was on point.
Sarah. Sarah got into his head. She's playing mind games with your boy.
Did it for you.
All right, and finally, the new Progress Women's Champion was crowned.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. It was in Manchester, England. Based on the source of the Square Circle Sirens, Jeannie, who has been rivaling with Storm for months, was finally able to capture the crown. I'm trying to mix it up here, man. I want to WWE y'all to death, man.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to give y'all some independent stuff, man.
Some good stuff.
I want y'all ladies to talk to me about this, please.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so amazing, again, you know, from doing X-Pac to, you know, covering Raw and all this other stuff. And see the Mae Young Classic. What the Mae Young Classic did for me was it introduced me to some folks who've been around. So it's not on them. It's on me for not knowing that they've been around. And then also now doing this show, there's so many women who've been like on the grind. So it's so amazing to see so many different organizations that have stuff for women. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they're getting paid well. I know some women in particular, like, they're still working 9 to 5 and doing this, which is hard in itself. Wow. Like, you know, this is, you know, I'm dealing with not necessarily the wrestling stuff, but just all of this.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that eventually, you know, you get the pay for the work that you're putting in. Mm. But it's great that they have these opportunities, because at one point there weren't that many. You'd see, you know, as far as just time to wrestle. And now you have all these organizations, and now you can start up and, you know, build up.
Well, it's so interesting because it went in like a circle. Back in the, during the war, World War II, wrestlers were seen as like real athletes, mm-hmm. and they were literally like the biggest, highest paid mm-hmm. people. Like, they were the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, I won't get all into why, but mm-hmm. Things became kind of more the women's wrestling we're used to. But the indie scene has been working on this for a lot longer than WWE has.
Yeah.
So once I discovered the indie scene, I got everything I'd ever wanted. I got undead corpse brides. Mm-hmm. I got women getting to do crazy stuff from the top ropes. And in fact, people like Sasha and Charlotte were influenced by what was going on in the indies. So it's really awesome. See, I think WWE actually supposedly is going to try to talk to Jenny, from what I've heard, reach out to her. And of course, Thunder Rosa, most people know her from Lucha Underground. Mm-hmm. She sometimes trains at Santino, so I've gotten to like work with her a little bit in the Lucha classes, and it's just really awesome to see.
It's interesting, like, see, the indie scene has always been like that parallel, like, universe to a lot of people that are like not familiar with wrestling. It's been like that area that you just don't know unless you like know the secret code.
Right.
And it's like, so wait, who are these guys? That what you said about the Mae Young Classic is exactly. It was like, it was brilliant because it was bringing light to women that have already been doing their thing, but it bought, because people, like, indie people, they don't, what they get uptight about is like, for like WWE, is like that spotlight does matter, though. And those independent people, that when they get a chance to get that spotlight, even for a second, it doesn't mean they have to be a WWE, but it's good to get that recognition that you work so damn hard for. Let's stop acting like everybody wants to be indie their whole life, like, that matters to them. Like, okay, I'm indie, but I'm glad someone's in different eyes are watching us right
but
now.
But there's different type of indie, too.
There's
the indie who has somebody who has a good name for themselves, who either came from WWE or they've just been on the grind and people know the hard work they put in. And so they're never without a job. And then there's the ones who are indie who they're trying to build up their resume and, you know, have 6 roommates.
And speaking of your thing about pay, every woman from the Mae Young Classic went back into the indies able to say, this is the amount you have to pay for me now.
There you go.
So that's been pretty awesome to see as well.
And I believe there's a Mae Young 2, somebody said that, Classic 2, that's going to be coming out. I'm really interested to see if they're going to bring back some of the girls from last year, which is going to be interesting, and then who they're going to bring up this year. What new girls are going to bring up. So it's going to be interesting as far as what's going to transpire with that. Or is it going to be a longer season with that? So I don't know. And now are they bringing up girls from NXT?
Is there anyone that you're looking forward to seeing, or anyone you would like to see?
I definitely want Alpha Female. We had her on the very first episode of Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. I definitely want her to be fully recovered and be able to do that again, because I believe she was going to get a contract and they found out there's something wrong with her and then she didn't get the contract.
Mm. Her neck muscles were, I mean, sorry, 2 of her bones in her neck were fused.
Yeah, she had to get surgery for that.
Damn.
So I'm really hoping that she's going to have the opportunity to either showcase, because I think she has to prove herself again, because it's just some people have to do it and some people don't. It's just kind of luck of draw. And then, you know, I don't know. It just depends on when it comes on, because I think it comes on the same time, which is like, I think around October. Some of the women from NXT should be up on the main roster by that time, too.
I think so.
I want to see Arrow Monroe and Willow Nightingale from the indie scene. I want to see them in the main, too. Yes. Yes.
And it just depends, too, on if they're signed to certain places or they're overseas and all that
stuff.
That's
true, though.
I can't remember who I was talking to. Oh, no, we were talking to Ivelisse.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't. She said they didn't ask her at all. So I want to see her then.
For real, man. Can we get
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
Whatever thing they got.
Whatever thing. But then also, Katrina, we had her on the show, and now she's back with Impact.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't want to see her on Mae Young because I think she's kind of beyond that. But I definitely want to see any bridges or anything that's, you know, severed her to get those opportunities.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're one for one. So far,
trying to keep that 100%.
We had Katrina on the show, and then next week she was starting to Impact. So,
oh, awesome! You know,
I feel people.
So
who,
it's good luck.
Yeah, they need opportunities. Yeah, since they're a female wrestler, then this is the place to come.
This is my luck.
Yeah, this is the place that you come to. That we just, you know, somebody's listening. So, you know, we'll see how it all goes. So,
yeah, I think that's it.
You guys, ready for Star of the Week?
Let me know. Let me know what's going on.
Women's Pro Wrestling Star of the Week.
All right, so speaking of Mae Young Classic, she was in the Mae Young Classic, Piper. She goes by Piper Viper. She also goes by Piper Nevin. She is the reigning Stardom SWA champion, and she has about a couple other promotional championships, a little bit more than five. She also, so like I said, she was in the Mae Young Classic. She started wrestling in 2009 at the age of 16 with the Scottish Wrestling Alliance. She moved to Japan, started wrestling there with Wonder Ring Stardom, or yeah, Wonder Ring Stardom. 2015, she was the first women's ICW Women's Champion. She's ranked 37th out of 50 people in the 2017 PWA rankings. I mean,
I saw her in the Mae Young Classic, and I saw her in Stardom in Japan. And I didn't know she was going to be in that show in Japan, but it was an anniversary show. I kind of just wanted to see women's wrestling in Japan.
Yeah.
And she came out, and she's amazing. She had a part. It was like a big, like, not a battle royal. I don't know how to describe it. It was like almost like a waterfall kind of style. But she was wrestling with this other really tough Japanese woman. And it was just getting to see something you kind of never get to see on television, really, is awesome. Two big, strong women, athletic, going at it. Like, it was beautiful. She's one of my favorites.
That's what she brings, too.
Yeah, so many championships. I don't know. I don't believe she was offered a contract, though.
No, I hadn't heard about it, but it is also possible some of these women are making a little bit more than WWE would offer. Because sometimes WWE will tell people, you know, you have to go through our developmental track. Yeah. And so you get paid this small amount of money.
Yep.
Unless you already got your own huge following, then we can work something else.
Like Drew McIntyre or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's sometimes the case of go back out, get bigger if you don't want to accept this amount of money. And then sometimes there's stuff they want them to work on. So I don't know why they wouldn't immediately take her, but it could also be health reasons.
Yeah, it's following up with that. Why do you feel that they did that with Asuka then, as far as like NXT development? Or what did you think their plan was for that, to build the NXT brand or to bring more to the women's division? Or what did you think?
I kind of think sometimes that Triple H has a different secret plan for NXT that doesn't necessarily have a lot to do with the rest of WWE.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's running it the way he would want to run it, and he's building people that he believes in, and he's a wrestler running a company.
Yeah, he tears the doors down.
There's such a big difference between when a wrestler runs a promotion or versus when a business person runs a promotion.
That's how it is,
it's
sports.
Every level.
Like, that's what's happening in certain, even like NFL, NBA things. People are getting rubbed the wrong way by these nerds that are never like played basketball ever, but they're like owning a team now. They're a general manager, and these basketball players are like, hey, hold on, wait, what?
Right.
Like I deal with numbers, and this is this huge thing that's going on now with people that are non-wrestlers or non-athletes. It rubs people the wrong
way. Well, with wrestling, it's always been that way. It's always been the very manipulative carny boss type of person who's the person who runs promotions. But lately, you know, we've been able to see past wrestlers start to run promotions, usually in the indie scene. Triple H is doing it, the only one doing it on this main level. And so I really do sometimes think he's just like, no one's going to tell me not to do this.
Yeah, only one person probably has the, like, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's working well for him, because at one point when they had NXT or whatever, what it was before it was officially NXT, nobody was really paying any attention to it. And now people are tuning in to it on top of everything else and all the podcasts and stuff like that. So it's so much.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of content. Like you always tell us, it's a lot of content.
It's a lot of content. And it's like every week I'm preparing for the show, and I'm like, this week, just going to walk in, everything's going to be. And then you watch, you know, Raw, and then you watch SmackDown, and then you watch, like, you know, all these interviews that these people had, and then you have all these little articles that pop up, and, you know, you have John and Nikki, and it's like.
Right. Yeah. Or even sometimes when they'll do like a really great episode of the, what's the one where they all sit at a table?
Table for three.
I'm like, three something with a table.
Yeah.
Table for three. That makes a lot more sense.
It's really cool, too.
Yeah. But finding the time to watch all of the content that just WWE is putting out. And meanwhile, I have to go to all the indie shows and still do like my normal stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot.
I know, because I haven't even watched the, I think they have the women's one that they had, and they had another one that came out, and then you want to watch the classics, and it's just kind of like...
They got like the road trip
And don't put anything in YouTube. It's just a rabbit hole of rabbit hole of stuff. But if you're a fan, again, it's like you have a lot of information. Right. But the great thing about the Mae Young Classic and like the NXT is that they're giving us, there's another avenue. I'm hoping it doesn't happen just because I don't want to watch another hour or 2 hours of wrestling. But, I mean, I hope it happens for the women. There have been rumors as far as having a WWE women's only kind of show.
I really think they got to work on that.
There's so many women, though.
There's so many women. Do it. Have some tag team titles again used to.
Yeah.
It
just gives more women opportunities to wrestle because there's so many on this roster in this short show.
And they don't ever want to put... They clearly still value the women below the men. Even when once in a while they're thrown a bone for a main event or something, there aren't as many women's matches. They do everything they can to put all the women in one match every week.
Like, so if you have their platform, then they can wrestle.
Can wrestle all they want.
I know they want to test that. I hope that's true, though.
Well, I mean, also Brooke Hogan has been talking about a women's league for 3 or 4 years.
If she gets out in front of that, man, it'll be something.
Well, that's my thing, though. If she has it, it's so. It feels like she has it. Literally, WWE will probably get it, and then they'll just probably crush her. Like, that's what it just seems like it's going
to
happen.
Because if they choose to do it.
It just seems... But again, I don't know, like, how she... Is she going to do it, like, a GLOW style? Or is she going to do it, like, more WWE style or stuff like that? And then on the flip side... I hope it doesn't, this is going to sound terrible, like, I hope it doesn't have, like, the WNBA feel to it, where people know exists, they don't watch it.
You're just being honest. It's not bad at all.
It's just another, so literally, if you watch a week full of wrestling, so you have Raw, then you have SmackDown, then you have NXT, then you have Impact, you might have pay-per-views.
Here's my real fear. If they treat it like they treated 205 Live, it will die. Because
205 Live,
because 205 Live doesn't, until very recently, didn't really have strong storylines, didn't really build anyone as
wrestling.
Very strong. Right. But like, if they, with the women's division, if they had that, and they built each of these women as strong for their own reasons or sneaky for their own reasons, like actually treated them the way they treat them, the male wrestlers in the main roster, there would be a reason to tune in, because you'd be getting to see women superstars as wrestlers, as you know, not just all thrown together, lumped together, and only able to do certain moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But seeing what they did with 205 Live, not super confident.
But is it, with 205 Live, is it more of a storyline thing? Or
I think it was equally part storyline and why should I care about this person?
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is with storyline and by showing how others who I do care about interact with this person.
Yeah, storylines are everything, but because they tear the doors down with the wrestling.
Doing beautiful, amazing wrestling.
But that storytelling is, man.
But nobody cares because, like, they were kept so separate from the story that it was like, well, who gives a crap? Like, Seth Rollins is clearly better than Cedric Alexander. We don't know that. We've never seen them wrestle.
We definitely don't know that.
But that's how it's positioned.
You're
when
absolutely
you,
right about that.
You treat it that way.
Or do you think that it could be... where almost like a lucha, where essentially... Like, 205, women, everybody's wrestling each other.
I would love that.
I would take that over,
But I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they'll, because of the network, like, Lucha Underground can do it because of El Rey, because of where they air.
Yeah, they got Rodriguez is, like, supporting them
in
his production value, and he's a hell of a director, actually. Like, that's, Lucha is, it's something special, man, because the way Robert Rodriguez presents it, he brings, like, his insane, like, director style to the show.
I do love that it's so story-driven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, stories are amazing.
I love when something is different, when we're not having the same kind of content. There's something for everybody if you like wrestling, right?
There you go.
There's something for the people who prefer women's matches. There's something for people who prefer cinematic storylines. There's something for people who just want the pure athletics.
Yep.
Like, we are at a golden time period of content.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, so...
Yes.
Speaking of Lucha Underground and women's wrestling,
mm-hmm.
we have a very special guest. She's joining us. We don't know what's going on with the video, but you can definitely check out her beautiful voice. You guys know who I'm talking about. Impact wrestler, Chelsea Green, a.k.a. Laura Van Ness. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I know this is such a bummer that my camera's not working, but unless you want to see what's going on my computer, I don't think you want the camera.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Is there any, do we want to know what's going on in your computer? Well, that might be kind of interesting too. That might be kind of interesting. So first off, well, can we, well, I mean, I didn't ask you permission, but I'll just how did the interview movie thing go before you hopped on with us?
Oh my gosh, it was awesome. I was really, really nervous because when I get these opportunities to have auditions, I feel like nobody prefaces, you know, the director or the person auditioning to say, hey, she has no clue what she's doing. You know, she's just a wrestler. She's never done this before. So everyone kind of, I just go in there blindly, like totally faking it till I make it. But it went well.
So wait, can you tell us what it was for?
So it was for a Canadian movie, and I really don't have any details on it. I just read a little bit of the script to one of the directors. So, I mean, we'll see. But hopefully I can get on playing a small role and then also doing a bit of the stunts, which I love doing.
So I'm also Canadian as well, and having a lot of family in the Canadian movie industry, one, I think you're going to be good, and two, just not knowing what's going on, that sounds just about right. I love
that.
Canada,
is, I feel like that's kind of this world, this entertainment world.
Yeah. It's just like, we'll see. Well, good luck. We definitely hope to see you in that Canadian movie. Hopefully, it comes
hey,
to the US.
Keep me posted. If I find out, I know. You know, even a title, I'll let you know.
Please do. I was just thinking about my drive here. It's like Canadians, as far as Canadian athletes, it's like hockey players and wrestlers. Like, they're just...
That's the jam.
Yeah, pretty much anybody you see, it's like you just think, oh yeah, they're Canadian too. Oh, they're Canadian too. It's like there's so many of us just floating around. I love it.
I know. It's funny though, because, I mean, I'm from Victoria, and really, we only have hockey players. Like, that's what I keep trying to tell everyone. It's like, open your guys' eyes. There are so many amazing athletes in Canada that we don't pay attention to because we only think we have the NHL. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, CFL, of course, and then we have a lot of track athletes. We have a lot of soccer players, but, you know.
Yes. We blend have amazing in so athletes, well. Figure skaters, everything.
I never know someone's Canadian until they say, like, sorry.
Or A. Or about.
Like, I've never had anyone say A, but the word sorry is the only time I'm like, hold up.
When
wait.
Y'all say about, it's like my favorite thing.
Oh, boy. I don't think, is that a Victoria thing? I think it's more... I think it's like more Midwest Canada.
Yeah, Chris Jericho's set when he says
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it's like more Midwest Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
I grew up in Virginia, and we had a section of people who would say oot and a boot, but they were just like putting on airs, I think. I don't know. They
well,
didn't
there's
come
a
from
lot
Canada.
Of folks who are like Midwest Americans that sound like Canadians and vice versa. Like, they sound like, it's very weird because I'm like, oh, no, you're not Canadian. Okay.
That's why I'm thinking, gotta go with sorry.
Yeah. You guys have a lot of actors, though, that you don't know as a Canadian, though.
I know, but you guys don't know.
Yeah, us Canadians, we know. We support fellow Canadians.
Man, I was so mad when I was like, man, y'all got Ryan Reynolds? Man, I was mad as hell when I found out y'all had him, man. I thought I was ours, man.
You thought it was...
He's in a sports team.
Listen, it is a sport. I thought he was American.
It's like one day, like, there's so going to be, like, a newscast on the television, and it's going to, like, Canadians take over. And then, like, everybody you thought was on your side, it's like, take over. Now it's going to be all Canada.
It's a slow infiltration. You have us all fooled.
I mean, given what's happening right now.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Justin Trudeau is really hot. Anywho, back to wrestling. Sorry for my Canadian. She's like, what's going on?
We call it the Canadian diversion.
I know. Actually, speaking Canadian, so you started off with your trainer, Lance Storm.
Yeah.
Now, you started not a while ago, but a good amount. Do you go back to train with him still as far as to kind of do like a brush up? Or like, do you feel like you're getting different lessons from different places at this moment?
So at first, I would say I've been wrestling I've been wrestling about 4 years now. For the first couple of years, I did go back often, even if it was just for, you know, a day to help out another girl that was in his class, or to go back just to brush up on maybe a move that I really wanted to learn. Now, because I'm based in Orlando, as opposed to being based in Vancouver or Calgary or Victoria, I don't have that opportunity as much. Mm-hmm. However, whenever I do go to Calgary, I go back to visit him because honestly, as many lessons as I learn traveling around the world and meeting new people, he knows everything. I swear to you, any question you could ever have about moves, psychology, gimmicks, the history of wrestling, anything, he knows. Like, Lance is an encyclopedia of wrestling knowledge.
Yeah, it pretty much says, it feels like anybody who says his name and they've trained under him, it's like they're, like, pretty much gold. Like, you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, you know, there will be the exception, but he really drills the necessities into you so that when you go out there, you're not going to do stupid things. And, you know, you just start from the basics. And that's what he teaches us. He's amazing.
So, like, you know, when you first came up with Lance Storm, like, was he your biggest influence, or was, like, there's another Canadian wrestler that influenced you, or was just any wrestler in particular? Who was, like, your biggest influence growing up?
I would say, because I really, people don't know this about me, but I knew nothing about wrestling. Like, not a thing. I had never seen a wrestling ring until I was, oh my gosh, like, maybe grade 11. Wow. And so Lance was definitely, he taught me almost everything I know. 99% of what I know, Lance Storm taught me. And then leaving Lance's, the people who influenced me the most in my career after getting out of Storm Wrestling Academy would be Billy Gunn, because he influenced me in Tough Enough, and then we continued. I'm really close now with his family, and he always gives me great advice. And Gail Kim, because she took me in and really helped me get that job at Impact and trusted me and supported me along the way and elevated me as I went.
Another fellow Canadian, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yes, exactly. See, I told
you,
right?
You didn't know that?
Y'all up in there.
Yeah, so we know, we keep track of everybody.
Y'all up in there.
Oh, we know.
So, as far as your experience, so you did had experience in Stardom. What's your, and you, so here's the question. So you did Tough Enough, so you have a little bit of WWE experience, Impact experience, and Stardom. What did you learn from each of them that you can kind of bring to where you're at right now?
So what happened was I did Tough Enough, and when I didn't get, you know, when I got kicked off and didn't get a contract, I thought, and this was totally naive of me, but I figured going into Tough Enough that no matter what, they would see how much I loved this and how quickly I could learn. I assumed that when I left, no matter what, I would be getting a contract. So when I left Tough Enough and I sat on my couch for about a month or two and I waited and I never got a call, I kind of had to think outside the box and think, okay, now what? You know, now I'm stuck in Canada. I'm not legally allowed to work in the States. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm still only a year into wrestling. And a lot of this time I've spent on Tough Enough, really not wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I had to come up with something different. And I thought, where are people going that creates a buzz for them? And the two things I thought of were Mexico or Japan. Mm-hmm. And I worked on trying to get to Mexico. That was actually the first thing I really wanted to do. But, you know, a couple of my girlfriends said, I think you really need to learn how to wrestle before you go to Mexico and get yourself killed. Mm-hmm. So why don't you try Japan? And that, I mean, I don't even remember the question you asked me, but that is kind of how I got over there to Japan and really put myself out there. I still had no idea what I was doing, but with the language barrier in Japan, they don't know that you don't know what you're doing. Wow. So every, you know, crazy move that I wanted to try, they're like, okay, yeah, let's try it, you know? And that's kind of how I began to, my confidence grew and my moveset grew, was just going out there and trying things that I would have never tried in North America.
So now, how did you kind of get into the Laura Van Ness character with the especially the makeup? I mean, it's so it's distracting to me in a good way, but I'm like, why? How did that come about?
Okay, so I started on Impact as just a typical mean girl, you know, Regina George knockoff. And I was bored with it, you know? I mean, I feel like that's kind of what every girl falls into when they're trying to be a heel character is, I'm going to be the mean girl from high school. Right. And I just find it overdone. And unless you can do it really, really well, I find it overdone. And they kind of threw me a bone when they gave me a storyline with Allie and Braxton where I was able to get married. And as we were planning this marriage segment, and they're telling me, you know, I'm going to be left at the altar, I'm thinking to myself, okay, how can I make this as dramatic as possible? You know, or and make this different and ridiculous and make people talk about this, because right now nobody's talking about my character. Nobody's talking about the fact that I'm a typical mean girl blonde, you know, on TV. That's just not something anyone cares about. So when we got into doing the segment, the wedding segment on TV, I was the most dramatic human on the planet. You know, I was fake crying. I was drinking champagne. I was throwing flowers around. And when I got to the back after the segment was done, Dutch was there saying, "Oh my gosh, that was absolutely brilliant. We need to film something, anything where you are continuing on this mental breakdown," because that's what it looks like I was having in the ring, was just an absolute mental breakdown. So we sat down in the makeup room and I sat on the floor and he said, "Smear your lipstick." And I'm like, "Well, my lipstick is skin color. Like, that's not going to work." He said, "Okay, well then," and you know, he's such a guy, "Okay, well, put on red lipstick." I'm like, "Dutch, I didn't have red lipstick on." "Well, put it on and smear it." "Okay." And then he's like, and wet your face a little bit, smudge your makeup." I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "Now, I don't know, act crazy, sing a song, do something." So I'm sitting on the floor with makeup smeared in a wedding dress, no shoes, being an absolute nutcase. And I'm not joking. I never thought that that would be used. And that was aired and was one of the most watched segments of that year. And from there, we carried on the craziness.
Wow. It's really extraordinary to watch you work, because I actually, so I'll be honest, when I first saw, you know, what your character was, I didn't think I would like it, because I came in kind of later. I was like, "Oh, great. Yeah, sure. Okay. An avocado toast, like, oh, going to brunch, girl." And by like
avocado toast.
A minute into your match, I was like, "Nope, I'm all about this. This is amazing."
Well, thank you.
So I actually got to see you at PCW.
Oh, and, I love that.
Yeah, and so it was funny because you were very professional and a great wrestler, and I was like, "Huh, this isn't what I wanted though." And then when you had the turn, it was just like, yeah, everyone in the crowd popped. It was amazing.
Well, that's what I hoped. And, you know, I've been really working on this, kind of developing my character. My boyfriend's been helping me a lot with this. You know, I want my thing to be that lipstick. When I pull the lipstick out, I want the crowd to know, okay, shoot, she's turning. She is, you know, turning into the hot mess. And that was really one of my first or second times doing it. So I was so happy that the crowd reacted the way they did to that, because I was so nervous pulling it out. I'm like, they're not going to know what I have in my hand.
No, they do. It was definitely awesome.
Thank you.
How did your boyfriend help you with the development of your character, like the progression of your character, if he did? Like, how did he, you know, him being in the business and things like that, like, what pointers has he given you to try to, like, you know, to up the ante a little bit?
Well, okay, so I think the great thing is about my character is that talking to everyone, there's always, someone always has some sort of suggestion, because they can relate my character, whether it be to a crazy ex-girlfriend, a psycho mom, a psycho sister, a, you know, a drunk hot mess that they saw at the bar last week. Like, you know, you can relate it to whatever you want. And so with that comes, like, these amazing suggestions from people. And I get very caught up in this character thinking, you know, I have to go one way or another. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm too far down the road of being a drunk girl. I can't be a real wrestler. And my boyfriend really, like, takes a step back and says, "Well, no, you can make this what you want. You know, stop going down the road of being a drunk and go down the road of being a psycho. And with that, you know, you need a snapping point. And what's going to be your snapping point? How is the crowd going to know you snap?" And so, you know, he suggested having my lipstick slip to me. And that is, you know, that's my calling thing. Card. That is my weapon, so that the crowd knows, okay, this is it. She's turning it up. You know, from here on out, the match will not be what it was before. And so those little kind of pointers, that's what he helps me with, coming up with where in the match should this happen, or what leads up to it to make it happen. But I mean, really, there are even fans help me with this. Even fans will give me, like, funny little suggestions or things that they relate it to, where I'm like, "Oh, okay, I never thought of that. I'm going to use that."
Now, you've said your boyfriend three times. I think I know who he is, but can you just tell us, just in case I get him wrong, get the person wrong?
I didn't want to say it because I know who it is, but if I'd have been wrong, I'd look like a fool.
Yeah, so it's just...
That's why I said, "Your boyfriend."
Well, and it's funny because, like, obviously I call him Matt, but everyone gets all weird because everyone obviously knows him as Zack Ryder. All but right, I feel just comfortable saying that. With that.
So
I don't know why I get all awkward.
Yeah, we're just, you know, we're just making sure because, you know, what we see on the internet might not be what's on the internet. And then, you know, you might say somebody else.
Oh, man. I mean, come on. If you follow us on Instagram, I was on your Instagram. It's like shoved down your throat. You can't help but know.
It was just, like, but it was like 5 days like ago. I was like, okay, a lot can happen in 5 days.
Especially with John Cena and Nikki. We all, you know, we just, I'm not sure. We don't, you know.
I was so worried. It's like May 15th. I was like, oh, no, this picture is 6 days
old. Long time, yeah.
So what's your relationship like? Because, you know, both traveling, all that stuff, different platforms. Well, how do you make it work?
I mean, at first, I think we based our relationship off everything but work. And I think that's what really, like, helped us. And that's why we kind of fell in love is because, you know, on our first date, we didn't talk about wrestling. And I, like I said, I don't know wrestling. I don't know, like, the things that he's done in the past. He tells me stories and I'm not like sitting there thinking, oh, I already knew that story. I've already watched that on YouTube. Like, I genuinely have no idea. So when he tells me these things, I love it. I'm very interested in it. But yeah, of course, you know, it's hard. We're on the road. And last week he was in Europe, so we didn't get to see each other for a couple weeks, and that's hard. But on the other hand, you know, we're both doing the same thing and we're in this together as a team. And I know what he's going through, and when he can't call me and vice versa, and that's the best thing in the world is to, like, you know, we trust each other. And I know when he's not texting me, it's because he's busy at work and I'm busy too. And so it's great. I mean, it's hard. It's a job, but that's kind of what every relationship is. You just find a way to make it work.
Yeah, it helps when you both are, like, busy doing your stuff versus, like, you sitting at home.
Okay, and that's exactly it. Like, this past week, it was definitely harder than normal because he wasn't home all week while I'm, you know, sitting there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But then the minute the weekend hits and I'm off to the indie shows and, you know, I'm doing business and stuff, it's totally fine. It definitely is tough when one person is very busy and the other is sitting at home, but we rarely have that. So we've been lucky.
So now you did have some experience with WWE. Mae Young Classic 2 is happening. Have they reached out to you or have you spoken to them even beyond Mae Young Classic?
No, I haven't. And actually, I don't know if you guys know, like, Santana Garrett and Britt Baker and all them. So we keep in contact all the time. We're very open. There's no secrets between us girls. Like, we tell each other exactly what's happening and, you know, what conversations we've had with WWE. And I was just talking to them today. I haven't heard anything. I've heard a lot of girls, you know, a lot of kind of buzz about it and a lot of girls saying that they've heard from so-and-so at the Performance Center, but I have not heard anything. So I am acting as if, you know, this isn't a possibility for me. I'm keeping my schedule. I'm keeping myself really busy. My schedule is full. And that way, you know, if they don't call, I'm not disappointed. And if they do call, I am going to be excited and ready because I'm busy.
So, okay, gotcha. So I was just, like, reading. Thanks, Tony. I was like, what's happening here?
Tony.
I know, right? So who has been, like, who can you tell us the girls who have talked to WWE? You said you there have been some whispers.
Well, that's the thing. And you never know. Like, I hear through, oh, this person told this person told this person told me. And so it's hard. But, I mean, it's hard to know what's true and what's not anymore, especially when it comes to such, like, a job that everyone, like, we all want. You never really know. But I do know that basically, I mean, you could probably guess the top indie girls are going to be the ones that they're contacting. But that always changes when you get to the PC and they start putting matches together. You know, they really want international talent, and that's what they're focusing on. That's what they've told me. They want different cultures, different languages, different countries represented. So I hope that's a good thing for me. I hope that they remember that I'm Canadian, you know, and that's something that's to my advantage. But again, I am, you know, a typical 5'7" brunette white chick. So that might – might be used against me. Nope. You just never know.
Crazy white trick, by the way. Yeah. So,
I know. Mean, well, that's diverse. A thing. Maybe that's a good thing. Yeah, maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know.
So I had a question. So you've mentioned a few times that you weren't super into wrestling, like growing up or anything like that. So what made you decide you wanted to be a wrestler?
Well, okay, so this is a crazy thing, and I get mixed reactions from this. I feel now at this point I don't mind sharing how I got into it, because at the end of the day, I've put, you know, 4 years of my life into this and kind of proved to people that I deserve to be here.
Absolutely.
But at the beginning, when I'm telling people how I got into it, they were a little annoyed. I was living in Calgary going to university at the time, and I was sitting doing some homework, and I didn't necessarily watch Raw or SmackDown, but it happened to come up on TV as I'm doing my homework. And I remember seeing a match with Nikki Bella, and I can't remember who it was. And it made me, and I don't know what it was. It just, I saw girls on TV, hot girls in cute little outfits, and I stopped and procrastinated my homework. And I watched the match. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking, you know, I've been athletic my whole life. I feel like I could do that. Mm-hmm. You know, this match was a very basic, like, straightforward psychology match. No crazy gymnastic stuff, and, you know, no crazy off the top rope things like that. And it just kind of like got my wheels turning, and it totally might have been because I'm sitting there bored over my homework that I start thinking about this, you know, and I'm typing into my computer, like I'm going on YouTube, I'm typing, like watching all these matches, and you know, I get like, I totally get sucked down the hole of watching wrestling on YouTube. And then, and I kid you not, I Googled how to be a WWE diva.
There you go.
And
there we are.
10 minutes away from my house, just down the road, wow. Lance Storm School.
There you go.
Yep. Sounds like
fantasy. And it was, yeah, that's really it. I called Lance, and he told me, you know, if you can be ready in 2 days and you can give me, you know, whatever it is, you know, $4,000, I will train you, and hopefully you're good. And if you are good, I'll help you as much as I possibly can. And I started training like 3 days later and fell in love with it.
Awesome.
Wow.
No, I think that's a beautiful story. And I think a lot of women have similar stories on the path to it, too, of seeing someone and saying, I bet I could do that.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, there will be the lifers that watched it with their brother from the time they were, you know, three on. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm going to be honest, because I know that if you want to do this, you can do it. Whether you were a diehard fan or not, that's what I tell people. Like, I put my mind to it. I wanted to learn how to do this. I wanted to be the best at it. You know, I wanted to be on Raw, and I wanted to be on Tough Enough, and I did it. And, you know, and anyone can do it if I can freaking do it.
Yeah, there's just different ways to get to the pot of gold, and so like your path is not everyone's path, and then you, this is what you want to do, so that's really all that matters.
Exactly, that's all that matters. And as long as you work hard, and you know, I didn't mind, like I don't mind if you look at me and you laugh because I loved Kelly Kelly. I'll prove to you, even in my Kelly Kelly outfit, that I can kick ass, you know.
All right, so we have to wrap it up, but a couple things. So you're coming to LA next month for Bar Wrestling. I always want to say Bar Stool. Bar Wrestling. So you have to promise. Well, we're going to be there. We made it a pact to be there.
Oh, good.
But you have to promise that you can come on the show so we can get an in-depth, like, you know.
Like in-person, in-depth, video.
Yes. Okay, I'm so into that. And it's funny because I've watched, like, AfterBuzz interviews forever because I am a huge Maria Menounos fan.
Oh, okay. Hey, she'll love to hear that.
Shout out to you, girl.
Oh, my gosh. And this is not, I didn't even know she wrestled. Like, she has been at the top of my list of, like, women that I'm going to emulate. So I will come on with you guys, and I will chat your brains off.
All right. Well, we might have to let Kevin know we can try to get Maria in the studio when you come too.
Oh, do not even tell me that. I told you guys have probably spoken to Daria. That's the first thing that I told Daria, and I did not even know that she knew.
Okay.
Those two.
That's so awesome. I'm gonna try to, you know, I don't have that power, but I'm gonna try to make it work. But we do have, like, we were one for one. Katrina, she was on the show, and then she got signed to Impact like a week after. So, you know, you never know that Mae Young might be coming your way. Yeah. We, you know, we have that, you know, that little blessing.
Little fairy dust.
Yeah, that fairy dust.
Send me all the positive vibes. I love that.
So we'll talk about getting you into the studio, but thank you so much for hopping off, or finishing your interview, I should say, not hopping off, because, you know, we're not that important, but for finishing your interview, coming on the show. Definitely looking forward to all the craziness that you're doing. You are a standout, so don't let anybody tell you you're just, you know, a white chick from Canada, because, you know, Canadians are awesome, just saying.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I will surprise you with whatever I do at bar. I will show up and surprise you guys.
Sounds good. So before we get out of here, where can they find you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Chelsea Green, and Instagram, Chelsea A. Green.
And Miss Sarah Rebel?
Sarah the Rebel everywhere, God intended.
On Twitter and Instagram, Evan T. Mack. Yo, Johan Pena, what's up?
So we thank you guys so much for watching the show. We know there's a lot of wrestling going on, a lot of wrestling podcasts, all that good stuff. But I feel like we kind of bring you all the women you need to see.
For real.
And, you know, Chelsea Green's going to be coming in studio next month. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, just putting it out there. Other than that, you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. You can also find me on TMZ Talking Ish every day, because it's just what I do for a living at the moment. So we will see you guys next week. Like I said, this summer is chock full of a lot of great interviews. So if you're checking us out, you know, scroll back, see everything that's going on. And then, you know, we have a lot of stuff coming up in the summer. Also, one last thing. Our poll is going to be up. The poll question is, you guys are going to like this. Do you think John Cena and Nikki Bella should get back together? Yes or no? Just saying. Other than that, we will see you guys next week. Ciao.
Bye.
From executive producers Kevin Undergaro, Maria Menounos, Phil Svitek, producer TK Trinidad, and me, Mark Donica, your voice of AfterBuzz TV Wrestling, we ask you to rate and comment on iTunes, subscribe to AfterBuzz Wrestling on YouTube, and find us on all social media. Thank you for watching Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. See you next week.